Not be able to chat with you and let you know, oh yeah, by the way, I'm heading home for us to record. Great way to get started for a bonus episode.
No. You're good. It was kind of funny because I was freaking out because I was just like, oh no, it's been so long since we recorded. I couldn't find my adapter for the mic. And I was like sitting there like, I told her 11 and it's almost 11:30 and I'm still not ready.
It's okay. I think it worked out perfect timing.
Heck yeah.
Awesome. Well, welcome back.
It's been so long. I feel bad, but so much has been going on in our lives that it's felt impossible to just like sit down and even discuss a topic to talk about for a bonus episode.
Yeah, bonus episodes can always be tricky just because it can be anything. And versus having to sit down, do a review for a specific TV series or movie where we know what the content is, we know what we're covering, our notes and everything. And this can be a little tricky sometimes, but when you messaged me and gave me just some context of what we were going to be chatting about, I said, okay, I am there. Because one out of the two topics that you brought up, I actually am familiar about what is / was happening. The other one, not so much.
and luckily I'm pretty when the news broke on the second thing, I was very invested in the story, so I will be able to explain what happened and kind of how it's going to affect things going forward. But I think we have a pretty fun topic to discuss today.
Absolutely.
So one of the reasons I was actually really excited about this episode is it's kind of a successor episode to the lost bonus episode.
I cringe so hard.
It's really sad because I was so excited about that episode. But today we're going to be discussing the recent pop vinyl landfill dump that happened with the company where they recently just dumped a whole bunch of extra inventory that just was not moving, not going anywhere, which is of course affecting the secondary market for pops and whatnot, which was what we were going to be discussing in that episode is the collector value of some of these pops and how wild it can be. Also, the other thing that we're going to be talking about in this episode is very recently in the past week, as we're recording this episode, it was brought to light that somebody in the Pokemon community, this person who worked for Pokemon, had been stealing Pokemon cards from the Pokemon company. From two specific sets that were very highly anticipated, very highly collectible. There were cards in there that everybody wanted. It was crazy because this guy just stole them all from the Pokemon company and people started losing their minds. Because if you're familiar with Fusion Strike and Evolving Skies, then you understand that pull rates were hard. It was hard to get the good cards that anybody wanted. And so a lot of people felt that this might have had something to do with that. So we'll be discussing those two topics today, how the pop vinyl landfill dump is affecting how people feel about pops and how this theft in the Pokemon company is affecting how people feel about Pokemon cards, and basically just like how emotions can kind of run the secondary market when it comes to collecting, purchasing, and reselling these cards and other collectibles.
Absolutely. It could be essentially a controversial topic talking about both sides because it could bring a lot of emotions up, but I think it's something that in the way that it's just stating facts here of the unfortunate news of just what was going on with the Funko factory and the pops and everything, because as somebody who is a lover of pops, I will say I am not a huge collector. There are specific ones that I do collect. I have the entire Sailor Moon collection. I collect only specific pops that have some kind of special meaning to me, mm-hmm. or I absolutely love the characters. Mm-hmm. Others being, for instance, I have a couple of different Minion ones. I have the Holly mm-hmm. Golightly one from Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is one of my more expensive two that I own, because I own two of them, because I knew it was going to be a big collector item. And it's just such a shame to learn about that. But it's, I think it also goes to showing where the Funko craze, it's been around for years. Mm-hmm. Funko's, the company, the pops, this isn't new, but it really took off. I want to say in 2013 is when it really feel like it took off. And now they've been just making so many, but yet they're throwing them in landfills, which is, it's so mind-boggling to me to think about that, considering there's still Funkos I can't get myself.
It's like they overproduce the ones that don't have very high demand. And mm-hmm. I feel that way whenever I like am looking for pops or I'm shopping for pops, because I'm not a huge collector either. I, as far as pops go, I'm kind of the same as you. There's very certain ones, very specific ones I want. There's a few that I've missed that I wish I could get that are incredibly expensive nowadays. There's the Black Parade one with the with the marching skeleton. That one's very expensive, one I would very much like to have. There's Monica with a turkey on her head. I would love to get that one. But like, yeah, these pops are out of print and in high demand, but the one, it's like I see the same five pops but 20 of them in any store that sells pops, and it's kind of like, why are you overproducing these ones that there's like no demand for? And then these like one, and I can understand wanting like them to have some kind of collector value, but it's almost kind, it feels kind of gross and almost destructive to mm-hmm. not be producing the ones people really want, and then overproducing these silly ones nobody really cares for, and then just throwing them in a landfill. And on top of it too, you still could have sold those, I feel like, at a cheaper price. And I understand like not wanting to like give the impression that like, oh, like if you just wait around, you can get whatever pop you want for under even $12, or in undervaluing them. I can understand not wanting to do that, but that feels like still a better option than doing something that is kind of detrimental to our planet.
Yeah, it's already such a struggle with where we are as a planet. Yeah, you're getting to a really important piece of this, is that plastic is such an issue as it is, and the type of material that these are made out of. And it's definitely just, I think you hit the nail on the head with that, where they're over mass producing ones that are not popular, where they're not mass producing ones such as, a good example, Eddie Munson from Stranger mm-hmm. Things. That one, it sold out so quickly. I had to go to literally the ends of the earth to receive my Eddie Munson Funko. I have a very close friend that lives in Australia that they had them. They sent it to me all the way from Australia.
Oh my goodness. I have people to this day still looking for the Eddie Munson pop. I don't even think that they, because, you know, I work for a comic shop, and they, like, we get them, you know, directly from distributors and whatnot, and they only allocated like a couple of them to us. They, like, it was so popular, and, you know, we weren't a huge distributor, so they only gave us a couple, and they were gone almost immediately, and they're impossible to find now, and people have, like, almost, like, all the time, just all the time, they're just, Eddie Munson, sorry, we don't have it anymore, we haven't seen it since, like, nobody even tries to sell it back to us, like,
I think even, for instance, it's really interesting how the market and the sellers really do specific Funkos that either they mean a lot to people and then they price gouge. And then some where it makes sense for the price. And one of them that comes to mind that is so hard to find and it is so expensive is the original Yzma Funko, which I cannot find that for the life of me. And I can find it, but it's over $100 and I won't spend that much for it. But then you look at something such as the Elvis pop, one of the top most expensive pops, that's I think $1,200, even more than that. I think that one's justified. It's justifiable just because of it's the King of Rock. And it's just so interesting that they chose to dump them in a landfill versus you could have donated those to kiddos that needed toys.
Exactly. And honestly, like bringing that up, that would have been a much better option, I feel like, as well. Like what you're saying is donating it up. Like they could have kept them like for around the holiday season, donated all of them to, you know, Toy for Tots, something like that. There were so many other options that they could have taken other than just dumping them all into a landfill.
So let me ask you this for your thoughts. Do you think this is going to harm Funko in the long run? Or do you think that they're invincible?
I wouldn't say that pop is invincible. I definitely think there's still a very, very strong market for them, for sure. I think people are definitely still interested in and have attachments to certain ones and are looking forward to growing their collections with future whatever ones they make for whatever, because they make them for freaking everything. So,
yeah, you know, ones that haven't seen the light of day yet.
Yeah, exactly. So there's so many possibilities in the future for pops that and I always know that the so many people like to rag on pops because it's like, oh, they just look dead, they look silly, like they're not that interesting. Like, no, open up your pops, open the boxes, because it doesn't appreciate the value. Just keep your box, make sure you're dusting your pops regularly, taking good care of them, but open your pops because they put so much detail into all of them, and it's so cool. And so I definitely think that there's still a market for it, and I think this will definitely affect the secondary market in some way where honestly some of those pops might see a dip, but then because they're all in a landfill now and you can't get them anymore, some of them might end up seeing rises in the cost of the pop. That being said, it does kind of almost feel like a Beanie Baby situation where eventually the hype might die down
and
like
know.
they'll never permanently go away, because you still see Beanie Babies at like stores and whatnot, and people still collect them and they still feel a certain way about their Beanie Babies. But I do feel like one day there is going to be a point where pops just aren't, don't hate me for this next line, they're just not popping anymore.
Catchy. I feel that there is definitely a difference between Beanie Babies versus pops, because Beanie Babies, they did do a obnoxious amount of too much mass produce, and it made it too hard for sellers that were buying and reselling to be able to reach a market and resell. Where pops, I think if they get smarter with the ones that they mass produce versus the ones that they don't mass produce, so you're not seeing specific characters that nobody asked for to be made into a pop. And then I think also the difference too is pops are so endless, where there are so many characters and real life people that they have yet to have made a pop for, that those will sell like wildfire, where Beanie Babies were only animals.
That is true.
Pops are animals.
The possibilities really are endless. So
and then I think just switching gears to more mass production and everything, which in a seller's market, and is the whole Pokemon craze is such an interesting dynamic, because it was huge when we were kids in the 90s, trading, selling, buying, and then it just kind of died off for a while. There, the games have always been successful, I will say that, but trading cards really fell off for a bit.
The trading cards have always been like a kind of like up and down kind of market. There's definitely lulls in the TCG where they're just the, whether it be like the art isn't really meeting the standards of the collectors or the players, or the, even things like pull rates just don't feel good, like you're just pulling nothing but garbage, and you're just never seeing like the good cards that you really want to see out of the packs, and you're buying like hundreds of packs and you're like, why am I not pulling anything? So there's definitely been ups and downs in the market, but it's definitely seen a huge resurgence since pretty much since the year 2020, and everybody needed a new hobby.
yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool to see that the younger generation, even past Gen Z, is now starting to get involved, and Gen Z, our generation's getting back into the swing of things. And there's so many new Pokemon that have come to light, and it was just, it's such a lovable company that everyone loves Pokemon. If you truly know Pokemon, if you are 90s kids, it doesn't matter. Everyone loves it. And the fact that an inner person was stealing money.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this.
Okay. So what was going on? So this person worked at Pokemon on the line for Pokemon, and they had stolen like millions of dollars worth of Pokemon cards. So, and these are cards that people really wanted to get out of these sets. So like the rainbow rares. So I kind of showed you some of the cards last time you were out here. So like those rainbow cards, the alternative art cards, that the ones people really were chasing after, they really wanted. So things that if you're familiar with Pokemon, like Umbreon's moon card, the Inteleon from Fusion Strike, the Gengar, the Mew VMAX, all of these cards, he had like the alternative arts or the rainbow rares, and he just had huge stacks of them. Things that would be absolutely impossible for any collector, even if you were on, I hate myself for saying this, even if you were spending money on it like you were Logan Paul, like that level of money, if you were dropping that level of money on Pokemon cards, you still would not be able to, in the realm of reality, pull this many of these particular cards out of these sets. So to kind of explain how pulling cards works for Pokemon, if you were to buy a box of Pokemon cards that comes with 36 packs for you to bust open, if you were to buy that, at least one or two of those packs should be like a rainbow rare or a full art or some kind of alternative art. It's not necessarily going to be like the $50-$100 card, but it will be some kind of alternative art. And on top of that, there's more than just like the big giant pull that everybody's looking for. There's multiple pull, like good pulls that you could get out of it. So again, for you to have a just stack of one singular card like that, it's just not within the realm of possibility. So he took all of these cards at one time to a TCG seller, so a company that just sells all kinds of different trading cards and whatnot. He took it to this company and was like, I would like to sell these cards to you. They immediately picked up on the fact that there's no way he could have possibly pulled these cards, and kind of figured out that he had been working for the Pokemon company, and immediately reported it to them. And so they found out about it, managed to seize the cards, and they have gotten the cards back. What has caused a huge uproar in the community is, since this has like come out and people have seen the pictures of these cards, a lot of people have felt a sentiment specifically about the sets that he had the cards from. So these were specifically Fusion Strike and Evolving Skies. These were two very highly collectible sets, and people felt, and myself included, people felt like the pull rates that they were getting out of these sets just were not very good. They didn't feel like they were getting good things when they bought a full box. They just felt like they weren't getting like that full art card or whatnot. And I bought multiple boxes, multiple booster boxes of Evolving Skies. I bought multiple ETBs. I've bought single packs. So I've invested a lot of money into Evolving Skies myself. I never once pulled the Rayquaza. I never pulled the Umbreon. I had to go out and get a lot of the singles outside of pulling them.
Yeah, it's very interesting too, and I can see the uproar with that, because not so right now. I think definitely it's the craze is not as, I will just say that
it's definitely died down a little bit, but there's still a very big secondary market for Pokemon. Yeah,
and they're still in places that you're limited to how many boxes you mm-hmm. can purchase. And I can imagine just people going to these comic shops, wherever it is that you purchase these packs, and spending so much money for the top tier box and hoping to get a really good mm-hmm. card out of that pull, and you get nothing out of it. And it's funny because Costco by where I live recently had a bunch of the boxes, and I was thinking, should I buy one for Rachel? I'm sure she probably has the box.
And that's just, it is like a lot of people, especially like customers I have in my shop, people who are part of my Pokemon League, and myself included, we do invest a lot into this. So we really feel like we want to get like the bang for our buck when we purchase a box. So those particular sets were highly anticipated and for a lot of us kind of disappointing as far as opening the packs and trying to get the cards we want. But at the end of the day, that's kind of just the nature of the game. The thing with any kind of TCG where you're busting packs open and trying to find those cards that you really want, at the end of the day, it's always going to be more cost effective, even mm-hmm. if like a card costs like $150 and upwards. It's always going to be more cost effective to just purchase your single versus trying yep. to pull it, because you're just playing a lottery game. You literally can open one set for the rest of your life and never pull that one card you're looking for, because that's just the way that probability works. So mm-hmm. it's unfortunate, but doing a little bit more research, because let me tell you, when I saw this news hit my phone, I lost my mind, because I am, of course, a Pokemon collector. Evolving Skies is my master set. That is something I have been trying to master for a long time, and I actually had just got the last card I needed right before this news came out. So I was very upset to hear this, because if this was true, it could greatly depreciate the value of my cards and the set that I had just completed, which you know, I'm not in it for the money, but you know, it's cool that it's, you know, a collectible item and I worked hard on it, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
It goes back to the Funkos too, where I only collect specific Funkos pops that I absolutely love. And there's no way I would not resell any of these. I think the only one I might consider, now that I've learned, oh yeah, if you take it out of the box, that's not going to kill the value mm-hmm. by any means, but I might consider selling my Holly Golightly one, just because I have two of them and if someone really wants one. But yeah, I get
and
it.
I think especially with a company like Pokemon, where it's really more like geared towards children and having children involved and playing the game and whatnot, it's really for all ages, but really geared to like being an open space for children as well. I think Pokemon really wants to lay down the idea of I don't think they like it when the secondary market gets out of mm-hmm. hand. I definitely think Pokemon frowns upon scalping and that yep. kind of thing. However, I do think they want kids to get into it and understand that as a collectible, it's also an investment, and mm-hmm. that if you collect your cards and you take good care of your cards, that later on in life they can appreciate and value in a large manner, and maybe one day help them pay for something like that. You know, if they managed to get like that good card out of a set and took really good care of it, I think that's kind of the idea that Pokemon has behind it, outside of just, you know, like being a fun game for kids to play, you know? So I think they do appreciate the secondary market on a certain level. However, so I did a little bit more research into this whole theft thing, and looking into it a little bit deeper, it did come out that this actually happened back when the sets first came out. So this is like about like a year and a half, I think, like maybe 2 years old.
News. Oh, wow. So this yeah. has been happening for quite some time.
Yes. So this happened a while back. Pokemon was already aware of it. They have taken the product. I believe they have destroyed the product that they confiscated from the guy. But looking further into it, there's not really the cards that he took. There was a great amount of them, but this actually would not have affected the pull rates for the actual packs that people were getting. So if you look into the way that packs are seeded and the way that they actually package them on the line, the machines are kind of pre-packed with the cards so that the machine will automatically slide them in. So it's not like individual people on the line. The people on the line are just there to like load the cards into the thing, and then the machine does the rest. So they can't actually take individual cards off the line like that. That's not something that they can actually do. So what more likely happened is the cards that he actually got a hold of and stole from the Pokemon company were very likely test cards and quality assurance cards used across the warehouse to basically make sure that the cards are meeting quality standards and matching what they're supposed to be looking like before they even go into the line to get packaged into the product.
Man, adults just trying to ruin everything sometimes. I hate to say it, just because, yeah, getting back to your point that you were saying, where this is something that it's fun for all ages, but ultimately it's something that they're not looking for power-hungry people to take these cards and just constantly, yes, there's people that do want to sell them that way, but that's not what this is intended for. It's intended for trading, playing, and collecting. And yeah, that's unfortunately the name of the game when you're collecting anything, but it's such a shame that a worker would do that and essentially sabotage people from getting these cards. And now they can't even put them back into production to be pushed out and sold. They got rid of all of them, which is
But do know, if you are a collector of these sets, this should not affect the value of these cards. This, because Pokemon Company was aware of it so early in the production of these sets and did decide to destroy the product because of this, they very likely printed new product for the packs that they had. And again, because they were very aware of this very early in the game, and these were not cards that were meant to go into packs, that these were meant to be quality assurance cards, you were never going to see these cards. These cards were always going to be Pokemon's cards. So your cards are fine. Your the value of them, the market is of course emotionally driven, and a lot there is a lot of misinformation floating around this story, and a lot of people are still wanting to believe that this affected their pull rates in some way. That is not the case. That is not true. You will probably see a spike and then a slight dip in the market for your cards, but it should level out shortly after that, and your cards and the value of them is just fine. This is not like when somebody did something very similar to this back, I believe the set was Unseen Forces with the legendary, I'm not going to call them legendary dogs, they're legendary cats. The legendary cats, the gold star cards have they don't have the value that they should because somebody stole them off the line and then overflooded the market with them later on.
Well, you heard it first here, peeps. Well, maybe not first of that, but just the reassurance that your cards are fine.
Just fine.
Wow. Just how worlds kind of collide and they're two different pop culture references. They're both collecting.
It's really interesting how things like this can like kind of like seemingly happen overnight and mm-hmm. just kind of disrupt the entire market for it and kind of change how people feel about it. And again, like these markets are very emotionally driven, just again because we feel a certain way about certain pops, certain cards, certain collectibles, whatever it is that you're collecting, you probably feel a certain way about it. And more than just you, a bunch of people feel that way about it. And because of that, the market is just very emotionally driven.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of heart behind it. Those emotions run high. And it's all about literally... You gotta catch them all in whatever regards that is.
Yeah, honestly, yes, that really is the mentality for whatever you're collecting. Gotta catch them all.
Yeah. I think honestly, because I asked you this question for Pops, I'll answer this being somebody that is not an avid Pokemon card collector at all. I think Pokemon will be just fine. There's going to be no issue with this because, again, it's ebbs and flows. It comes, it goes. Pokemon's not going anywhere. They're going to continue to make new Pokemon cards, new games.
I would say Pokemon runs the gambit on everything. They have movies, they have TV shows, they have video games, they have card games, they have books. They have everything you can imagine. Pokemon is the most profitable company in the entire world. They will be just fine. And honestly, God, this guy is just dumb.
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
Can we at least, since we're talking Pokemon, mm-hmm. and before we wrap this episode up, I think it's only fair to give a cheers to the one and only our main man, Mr. Ashton.
I'm so proud of him of finally becoming a champion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss him. I can't believe that they decided to end this era.
I know.
I honestly thought I was going to be an old woman and still watching Ash on his journey as a 12-year-old.
With Pikachu by his side, yeah.
Yeah, I really thought that was going to be the case. So it's definitely interesting to see where they're going to be taking the Pokemon anime in the future with these new characters. And I am not ashamed to admit I am an avid Pokemon watcher. I've been watching the Ultimate Journey series on Netflix, and I can't wait for the next part to come out so I can finally watch Ash beat Leon and get his championship. And I am excited to see where the new series goes. So,
absolutely. It is a very bittersweet end to a long, long era of what Pokemon has just over the years come to. And the duo, it's a very bittersweet is the best thing I can say.
You know who I'm really going to miss the most? Team Rocket.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that, but hey, you know what? I can see that. They're definitely an interesting trio with Meowth as well.
Oh, yeah. They are just so silly. They've been my favorite villains / anti-heroes when they need to be. They come in and save the day from time to time, and I love Team Rocket. They are just a very fun, silly set of villains to have, so...
Absolutely, I have to agree. And that one episode, I finally caught wind of the evil Togepi episode, and I will never not use that gif. I just love it.
It's a great one.
But I think this is a good segue into summer is coming up. That means a new season, new episodes. Are you ready for that, Rachel?
Oh my goodness, the summer is going to be insane. I'm going to have so many things to talk about. So much is going on this summer, so...
There's been so many amazing movies and TV series that have dropped, and oh my gosh, we will be revisiting the one and only Futurama when the new season comes out!
Yes! Yes! Oh, there's definitely... There's definitely a lot of things I want to talk about. Maybe something involving peaches, peaches, peaches.
But I will say, as soon as that episode, the first episode of the new season of Futurama, as soon as that drops.
Oh my God, yes.
We will drop everything, yes. And that will... I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, this was a very great episode just to get us back in the swing of things. And again, we have not lost our touch.
No. Mm-mm. I'm excited for next season. I'm excited to get into it because, like you said, there's so many good things that came out, so many things that are coming out, and so much to talk about. It's going to be an exciting summer.
Absolutely. A brand new season. Getting ready to hit everyone here in the next few months. So stay tuned, everyone. But until then,
bye.
Two Girls, One Review. Go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts.